In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball. Let's
all go. All that is true. Let's all go to the lobby. Alan Adams joining us here in studio. Good to see you, Al. Happy Monday.
Good to see you as well. How are you?
You were battling some stuff today, huh?
Yeah. Well, it was a bit of a weekend, and it basically just a whirlwind from top to bottom, and so we took a well-deserved break from everything today.
Well, thanks for soldiering on and coming in to visit with us.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, I wouldn't miss it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was there for the Saturday performances, the Improv Me Festival. Not just back, but better than ever.
It was really pretty great, wasn't it? It was our first time back after a couple of years due to, you know, everything. And it was our first go-round at the Bangor Arts Exchange, which Josh, Gas, Launchpad, the whole crew, they've been phenomenal hosts to us since we started working with them, either 3 weeks ago or 10 years ago. I can't remember which. It's one of those things where it's like it still feels new, and yet it feels like we've been there forever. So they've been really accommodating to us, and it's always call it self-serving, call it petty if you want to, but like there's something very satisfying when we host all of these groups from other parts of the state, and to have them just be like almost in awe of what we have access to. Between our performance venue, our rehearsal facilities, it's just like, you know, and you explain to them what the deal is, and their eyes get wide and their mouths drop open. They just can't believe that we are able to do what we do in the way that we do it. And so it's just a reminder of how fortunate we are to have, to have now and to have had in the past such really welcoming, sort of community partners when it comes to the focus group. So. Yeah,
and man, everybody was great Saturday night. I loved You Should Smile More. They were terrific. Our friend Sam's group, Yes and Co., taking my life down a road I didn't expect. And then in focus group, even though I was watching, I got to be in the audience for a focus group show, which was kind of weird, but you guys killed it.
Well, that's one of the wonderful things about the festival writ large, too, I think, is the fact that so many of us, we don't necessarily have the chance to actually watch because we're doing our own shows. And so to be able to get a sense of what all these other groups are doing, and we all know each other. You know, it's one of those things where it's, you know, I met a handful of new people this weekend, but for the most part, like, we've all been doing this long enough that and the scene is so sort of self-celebratory. Like, you know, the phrase I kept using was a rising tide raises all boats. And that's kind of how the improv scene in the state of Maine is. Like, everyone is so supportive of everyone else. We all just wish one another well. That sort of energy, I think, makes for a really positive experience at something like the Improv Me Festival. And by all accounts, everyone who participated both Friday night, Queen City Improv, Capital City Improv, Balderdash Academy, and you mentioned You Should Smile More and Yes & Co., like, all of these people really seem to have a wonderful time. Yeah. And that's kind of what it's about. Like, you know, obviously we're not in this to get rich. So it's, for them to take the time and to travel and, and this and that, like, I'm just so happy that we were able to give them a good time. And they were, in turn gave, our audiences a good time. And, I'm not one to shy away from talking about, the focus group being good at what we do. But there's also something really wonderful to give our audiences a chance to see how other people do it. Yeah. Because that was kind of the great thing about it was nobody really did the same thing.
Right.
There are so many different flavors of improv and you got to experience a lot of those over the course of the 2 days of the festival. Whether it was like the sort of, you know, instant ensemble collective vibe of You Should Smile More, or the two-person Hallmark movie that Dennis Price and Amy Rader brought the house down with on Friday night with Capital City Improv. It was, you know, it's a lot of times I'll at these festivals, you'll watch and you'll see something and it'll just impress the hell out of you.
Yeah.
And that's what that was for me. Like watching Dennis and Amy basically do like, you know, a Christmas movie you'd see on Lifetime in 35 minutes with just the two of them.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, just a delight. But you know, you point out highlights, but the truth is, like, everybody brought something to the table, and
and having all that talent there, you up your game.
Exactly. It's because, you know, it's like, oh yeah, did you see how they reacted to that last set? Like we have to be good. We have to be good. We're not used to that sort of pressure, but no, it's like we have to be good. But yes, it was just a marvelous time. I have yet to debrief officially with Josh to find out what like the final attendance numbers were, but I know I eyeballed something like 75 or so, just in a rough count on Saturday night, and I think we had more on Friday.
I didn't see many empty seats.
You know what I mean? Like it was a nice, raucous, very packed house, and there's something really really wonderful about that, and being able to share that not just with you know, our local audience, but with our brethren and sistren in improv arms.
Well, again, thanks to Josh and everybody at Bangor Arts Exchange, but kudos to you as well for doing the heavy lifting of organizing, because I know that's not easy.
Yeah, you just, you know, you try to figure out who needs to be pointed where and just give them a little push and hope for the best. But no, it was good. It was a long weekend, and one that I am grateful for, and I will concede that I am maybe just a little happy to have it in the rearview mirror.
I can understand
just a little
that.
Bit. Oh man! And before we move on, it's just one movie this week, so we've got a little bit of time. But yes, I was part of the Jason Preble watching Die Hard party.
Oh, were you there for that?
I was so stoked to hear that you were having Josh on. I don't know if people know this, but Josh and I go way back.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like high school way back.
Wow.
Yeah. No, we've known each other for a very long time. It's always wonderful to sort of see what they've been doing with that space. But yeah, you were talking about Adam putting stuff together. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, one time we watched Murder, She Wrote. Another time we watched the early mid-80s BMX bike classic Rad.
I've mentioned this to Josh, but I remember, I think you and I had this conversation when the idea was first floated, and both of us saying, man, this is great. This is the coolest thing. I hope it'll work.
That's just it. Like, you just, like, and that's, you know, that's what's so admirable about what Josh and his crew have done is it's just, man, like, that's a big leap.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big leap because it's something that hadn't been around before. So you don't, like, you can make educated guesses and I'm sure they did plenty of research before they did any, but at the same time, at the end of the day, it's like, when you open a new place like that, you don't know if people are going to come.
Right.
And, but it really seems like they've, well, you talked about it a little bit. Like, I think, particularly in a town that has, for a town its size, a fair number of those sorts of entertainment options, you know, to find a niche and really find a way to not only survive but thrive is really impressive. And again, like, there's something to be said about just like getting together with some friends, you know, having a couple of drinks, sitting and watching a sitting in a sort of private theater and, you know, yelling at Die Hard for two hours, you know, like that's like, it's super fun. And it's the kind of experience that, as we said, is unlike other ones that you can have in the area. So I hope people take advantage because, again, you know, I mentioned all the stuff you can do in the arcade and it's all great. They have a phenomenal beer list. They make great cocktails I love what they do with their food. Like,
oh my
it's
gosh,
just
yes.
It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, they sort of take that kind of comfort junk food type and just elevate it just that little bit, like give you something, a little higher end, a little unexpected. And it's just a delight. Yeah. It's a delightful place to be. And, I can't stress enough that people should check it out whenever they have the chance.
All right, and we're awfully happy to have them as a sponsor here for the holiday season.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk movie, not movies.
Yeah. Just movie. Well, as you may have sort of understood, kind of a busy weekend.
I had
some stuff going on.
I've got it.
Movie going was not really part of the equation. In fact, most weekends, all other things being equal, I might have skipped it entirely. I might have given you a holler on Sunday and been like, "Rich, I don't have anything. We're not gonna do this." But here's the thing, Rich. You know what came out this weekend in wide release in theaters?
No.
Well, it's Violent Night.
Okay, yeah, I saw an ad for it. Yeah.
It's one of those things, like from the moment I saw a poster, and it's just a close up of David Harbour as Santa Claus looking a little roughed up, and it just says Violent Night, and I'm like, okay, so I clearly have to see this movie.
Yes. Oh yes,
like I am. 1,000% the target demographic for this movie, because I love Christmas movies, I love action fare, and I love non-traditional takes on that Christmas fare,
and gotta love theater at Monmouth alums like David Harbour.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, and it's just like I love David Harbour anyway, and for him, and you see a trailer and it's like, okay, so like you could boil this down to something pretty simple, and it's basically like, I keep calling it Santa Wick, because it's basically just like you've got Santa Claus basically just carving a swath through bad guys for a significant chunk of runtime. So the basic gist, such as it is, we first meet our hero at a bar. In Bristol, England. It's Christmas Eve, and we've got a guy dressed as Santa just throwing him down at the bar, really getting getting sauced. Engages in a conversation with another guy dressed as Santa who is also at the bar, and we start to see that this Santa, well, he's grown a little cynical, a little jaded with the state of the world today. He questions the belief of the little people and the kids, and they want and they take, and it's all cash and video games and just real like shakes fist at cloud, like get off my lawn stuff. And we're like, oh, okay, so whatever. And then we quickly really realize that this is no ordinary mall Santa. When he goes out the door that goes to the roof, the bartender chases him, and that's when the bartender sees 8 tiny reindeer drawing a sleigh flying up into the sky. And she's like, oh my God, he's real. He does a U-turn, has to go back the other way. Well, and then he throws up over the side onto the aforementioned bartender.
Nice.
And it's like, I know precisely what kind of movie this is. And we're off.
And I like it. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
And it's so much, and it's definitely for me. The plot basically revolves around this family. They're called the Lightstone family. They're one of the most wealthy families in the United States, and it's their annual Christmas gathering. So you have the matriarch played by the wonderful Beverly D'Angelo, actually.
Oh, wow, nice.
Who's very good in this, like a foul-mouthed rich woman who basically does not take... She brooks no guff, as they say. But she's got her family there, and her son and his wife and their young daughter, Trudy, her daughter's sort of wannabe action star boy toy, and their influencer tween son, and it's the standard sort of rich people infighting, wanting money type stuff going on. And then Well, then the bad guys show up.
Oh boy.
As they are wont to do. A team of mercenaries, all bearing whimsical Christmas-themed nicknames. You know, you've got your tinsel and your gingerbread and your Krampus and so on and so forth. Led by a fellow who just calls himself Mr. Scrooge, and that would be played by John Leguizamo, who is excellent in this film. And they want the money, but it turns out that's a little trickier to get at than they might have imagined. Meanwhile, Santa's there. Why is Santa there, Rich? Well, he got into the brandy and fell asleep in a vibrating chair. when the gunfire, I'm spoiling a little, but it's fine. When the gunfire scares off the reindeer, well, Santa's got no way to get out. Because he doesn't fully understand how Christmas magic works, despite having been Santa for centuries. Because, well, you know, it's never really explained how he became Santa. Although we do get a little bit of an origin story as to who he was before he was Santa. That is delightful. And fits in very nicely with what happens next, which is him just murdering the crap out of wave after wave of mercenaries. And, you know, it starts off in a very sort of kind of bumbly, kind of comic kind of way where it's like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, happy accidents and coincidences and stuff like that. But then we shift tonal gears pretty significantly in the final third of the movie, where it just gets full on brutal. And that's maybe even funnier than the slapsticky stuff because it's Santa.
Right, yeah.
Doing all these things, whether it's with, you know, the sledgehammer he finds in the shed or putting ice skates on his hands. Like, it's just, like, a lot of very, very fun stuff happens. So
he's a creative Santa.
Yes, he is. And he's doing it all because the little girl is there and, you know, she inadvertently managed to get in contact with him thanks to a very convenient plot device that you'll figure out when you see it. He's just like, well, she's a real believer and I gotta help her in any way I can. And if that means shedding just gallons upon gallons of bad guy blood, they're all on the naughty list. So, I mean, he can do what he wants.
Exactly.
Rich, I had such a, such a good time watching this movie. It's funny cause I went to a later show, last night and I was like, oh, you know, it's late. It's Sunday night. Like, I'm assuming it's going to be. I mean, I was shocked by the number of people who were there in the theater at the same time. And it was, and I'm glad that's how it went because, you know, it is the sort of movie that is really fun to watch with other people who are in the same headspace as you are. And so, you know, laughs and cheers and just watching, like, grizzled, drunk, angry David Harbour just mow down all of these dudes, like alternating between, like, you know, not being able to make his chimney magic work because he's too drunk and just like all this stuff. And it all comes together in this wonderful sort of tonal mishmash because it's the movie really jumps around as far as like what kind of film it is. And a lot of times that doesn't work, but in this particular case, I'll allow it because like all the individual pieces, like they're wildly different shapes and colors and whatnot. But when you put them all together, somehow it works. And you know, credit to the filmmakers for making that happen and finding a way to balance the sort of the comedic nature of the violence. Everything is still rendered fairly realistically. Like the director is one of the guys who did work on the John Wick movies, so it has that sort of very visceral kind of vibe to it. Mm. It's just you know, covered in tinsel and holly and whatnot. And we also get a brief interlude where they riff on Home Alone in a particularly brutal way as well.
Nice.
Like, I mean, it's just it's a smart movie, it's a funny movie, and it's an incredibly violent movie. So again, this is not for the kiddos. But one would assume with a name like Violent Night, you would probably gather that. But I mean, who knows? I saw a couple of holiday themed horror movies when I was a little too young. So the highlight, I'm not sure if any of y'all remember Silent Night, Deadly Night.
I sure do.
But yeah, that one, I saw that one when I was not ready. And so I would advise, if you have any doubt out there, parents, that your offspring not ready, they are not ready for Violent Night. I can assure you. But yeah, good jokes, good action, just a masterful performance from David Harbour, as maybe the baddest of badass Santas. So what's not to like? It's going to definitely be part of my holiday playlist going forward. And, well, folks, I hope it is for you as well.
And I feel like it's been a while since we've had a good Christmas movie like that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just stuff like the closest thing I can think of, and this is like probably 4 or 5 years old at this point. There was an attempt to make a Krampus movie.
Right.
Like Adam Scott was in it, and it was fine. Like, but it was more an effort to be like a straight up horror movie. Mm. And the truth is, like, when you're crossing the streams like that,
yeah.
Like you gotta bring something different to the table, because you know, well, there are a lot of us out there who have very strong feelings about holiday movies, you know, and we're ready to be open minded again. Like the Die Hard is a Christmas movie argument is out there, but yeah, you gotta give us something, and I gotta tell you, Violent Night. Gave me a lot of something.
Excellent. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
Go home and get some rest.
I'm going to do that.
Alan Adams talking movies on Pass the Popcorn.